This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A new round of COVID vaccines received approval from the Food and Drug Administration Monday. The decision comes as we're seeing a new wave of cases and as the season for colds, flu, and other respiratory illnesses is approaching. Today, we're going to talk about what you need to know about the variants that are circulating, the rising number of COVID cases, and what vaccines you should get in the fall. Joining me to delve into all that are Cincinnati Children's Vaccine Research Center Director, Dr. Robert Frank. Thanks for being here, Dr. Frank.
Thank you for having me, Lucy.
And Hamilton County Public Health Commissioner Greg Kesterman. Welcome back, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have questions or comments about the new COVID vaccine or the variants that are spreading in the region? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Greg, what are we seeing in the tri-state now with COVID numbers?
You know, if you are talking to friends and family or you have kids back in school, we're certainly starting to see a lot of illness spread around our community. Not everyone today is getting tested like we did a couple years ago in the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, but we are definitely seeing more cases of COVID as well. And so we are strongly encouraging folks to keep that sick home. If you wake up and you get the sniffles or a sore throat, we're really encouraging folks to keep sick at home.
And Greg, for the cases that are confirmed as COVID, are these new cases leading to fewer hospitalizations than previous variants have?
It's a little hard to tell. We know that most folks who get COVID-19 are not reporting their cases, so we really don't have a great count of COVID like we did a couple years ago. But what we do know is that there are less hospitalizations today. So we think COVID is spreading pretty rapidly in our community, but we're only having a couple individuals from Hamilton County proper ending up in the hospital systems.
Dr. Frank, does that mean there are fewer serious cases?
Yeah. And so I think, you know, one of the things that's important to remember is that COVID is not gone, but it's very different from 3 years ago. At the peak, we were having 25,000 Americans a week that were dying from COVID, but we're still having 600 or so a week dying from COVID, according to the CDC. I looked up their data yesterday. So while it's certainly down, it's not gone. And that's why I think Greg's next statement would be to say, if you're sick, stay home, but when you're well, go get your vaccine and make sure you're up to date on your vaccines.
Well, and Dr. Frank, what are the most common symptoms of these new variants that are going around? It seems like they are very similar to a cold.
Yeah, and so that's the problem, really, is that it's a respiratory virus, so you really have very difficult time differentiating it from any other respiratory virus unless you do test for COVID. So the symptoms are exactly the same.
And, you know, we've talked about how the we're seeing fewer people in the hospital, although fewer people are testing for whether they have COVID or not. Are we seeing fewer serious cases because the variants that are circulating aren't as powerful, Dr. Frank, or is it because people who are vaccinated, you know, there are more people who are vaccinated or more people who've had the virus and have some immunities built up?
So it's that we have immunity built up, and so I would like everybody to have their immunity by having vaccination, because what a vaccine does is really simulate to make our body think we've been infected while we really haven't, but we still have the same immune response. But if you do get COVID, you are getting a fair amount of immunity that way too. So it's the biggest difference is people have antibodies in their system, which 3 years ago, nobody did.
And Dr. Frank, this might sound like a silly question, but, you know, a lot of us have these at-home COVID tests tucked away somewhere at our homes. Do they detect these new variants that are going around if you
yes.
come back? Okay. So if you're negative on those, you can feel pretty good unless you've messed up the test.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, the converse, though, is that what happens is a lot of people will stay positive for a long time. The PCR, which is what the testing is, doesn't tell you that the virus is alive, but you have to assume that it's alive still. But people sometimes will test positive for weeks, even though if you did a culture, they would have been negative for culture days ago.
Hmm. How easily are these new variants spreading from person to person? I know we've talked in the past about how different variants are better at spreading than others.
So I can tell you anecdotally, at least, that I've heard of a lot of people that are getting COVID. The good news is that they're saying, I've got a runny nose, I got a cough, I feel kind of achy. So feeling like I got the flu, not feeling well, but the serious cases have decreased a lot. And, you know, this is one point I think it's really important, Lucy, is the difference between infection and disease is that infection means that if I put the swab in your nose to look for COVID, I would find it being positive, where disease is you're having symptoms. And that the number of people with severe disease that are requiring ER visits or hospitalizations or people dying significantly less than we had 3 years ago. As I said, we're still having 600 plus people a week dying from COVID. So it's not that it's gone, but it's much less. But these variants still are able to pass very easily. And the best way that we can keep the things from passing are people being vaccinated.
I mentioned that the Food and Drug Administration approved a new round of COVID vaccines just yesterday. Dr. Frank, what is the FDA saying about these? Will they work against these new variants that are circulating?
At this point, it looks like they will. And the reason I say at this point is because COVID likes to change, have variants or mutants, whatever word you want to use. But at this point, it looks like they will work, and they work well against the other variants of Omicron that we've seen so far.
Do we know when these are going to be available yet? I don't know if either of you have any inside scoop on that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Greg has a better answer. What I would say is what I've heard just from the papers, and that is that next week.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, so the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, commonly referred to as the ACIP, they are meeting actually this afternoon. And then after their meeting, if they agree with the FDA, we should start to see vaccines out in the community in about a week, would be my guess. This time around, vaccinations will not be, you know, early in the pandemic, folks came to the public health department for vaccinations. This time we're kind of relying on that private system for delivering vaccines. So folks can go to their primary care provider or to your typical pharmacy and get your vaccine there.
Who's recommended to get these, Dr. Frank? Is it more important for some people than others to get this newest vaccine when it's available?
Nope. I would say the same thing as the safer flu. We want everybody 6 months of age and above to get a COVID vaccine and get their flu vaccine. And then if you're 60 or above, there's also a vaccine for a virus called RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus. But everybody 6 months and above should get this updated COVID vaccine.
And Dr. Frank mentioned it already, but just to stress, even if you just get COVID, you should still get your vaccine. You should wait a couple weeks until you're better, but then you should get your vaccine still.
Absolutely.
And should patients get the new COVID vaccine at the same time as a flu shot? Dr. Frank,
that'd be fine.
Yeah. What about as the RSV vaccine? Should you just go for a threefer if you're going to get all of them?
Well, I'll tell you what I would say as an infectious disease doctor, and we'll see what Greg would say, but that these are all killed vaccines so that they're not live virus, so that you can get as many in one day as your arm will tolerate.
Yeah, and I've not heard anything different.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about the rising numbers of COVID cases in the region, which variants are spreading, and what vaccines you should get this fall. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Dr. Frank, can you tell us more about RSV? We were seeing a lot of cases last year. I wonder if you started to see it already this year. What are you expecting from RSV this year?
So RSV is called respiratory syncytial virus, and this is a virus that almost every child gets by the age of two. And this is one of the unintended consequences of COVID, is that for almost 2 years, we saw almost no RSV because of the social distancing. And then it came back with a vengeance, the RSV, when people started mixing again. So we had unusual epidemiology of people, even kids, even two and three, that were getting RSV when we're usually seeing it in the first year or so of life. But it's a virus that everybody basically gets. What we're finding is, though, as our immunity starts to wane, as we're getting, I'll say, more mature. And so now we do have a vaccine that's available for people 60 years of age and above, because we're finding that's another high risk group. And the other group where it's recommended is moms during their pregnancy.
And this vaccine's pretty new, right?
Yes, this will be the first year it's available. But it's been well tested. They've tested in thousands of people, and that it's shown to be very safe, and it's actually been very effective of preventing RSV.
Okay. We do have a couple callers lined up. Hey, Ann, thanks for calling. What is your question?
Hi, I'm just wondering if we should get the vaccine as soon as it's available or wait till closer to the holiday season.
Good question. What about that timing? Dr. Frank, do you have advice on that if people want to be vaccinated but want as much protection as possible before the holidays?
Right. So we're talking about then there's three different vaccines depending on your age. But so for flu and COVID, I would go ahead and get it any time. That the marginal difference you may have by waiting until November or something, I'm not sure it's worth it. You're kind of rolling the dice a little bit. I'd probably just go get it when it's available. And the RSV right now is just available for people 60 years and above, unless you're pregnant.
Okay.
And then it's any pregnant person.
Great. Well, thanks, Ann. We also got a call from Barb, who wasn't able to stay on the line. Barb says she had her COVID vaccine 5 months ago. Should she wait to get the new one? What's your recommendation there, Dr. Frank?
I would say that she should get a dose of the updated vaccine when it's available. It's fine to get it now. I mean, you know, in the next week or two, whenever it's available or whenever. But the 5 months ago, that would have been the bivalent vaccine. So we want everybody to get a dose of this updated vaccine.
Okay. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WBXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about which COVID variants are circulating in the region and which vaccines you should get this fall. My guests are Cincinnati Children's Vaccine Research Center Director, Dr. Robert Frank, and Hamilton County Public Health Commissioner, Greg Kesterman. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Dr. Frank, we had an email come in from Maggie. She says, will Cincinnati Children's be offering the new vaccine? And if kids still need the bivalent booster, should they wait for the new vaccine?
My understanding is yes, we will be offering. But as Greg was saying, is that there is going to be a bit of a difference. And we're hoping, you know, a lot of people be able to go to their pediatricians to be able to get the vaccines. As far as that, the vaccine that will be recommended for kids is the updated vaccine. So then if you haven't gotten the bivalent yet, I wouldn't worry about trying to get the bivalent. Just wait a week or two until the updated vaccine is available.
Okay. We also have Chris on the line. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling and for listening. What's your question?
Hi. I'm getting mixed messages because my husband and I, we both got COVID back in August when we were on vacation in Maine. Recovered. My husband did take Paxlovid, and then we are headed out to Hong Kong at the end of the month. And my doctor said that to wait for the COVID for like 90 days, but then I just heard to say get it right now. So
you're saying if you just had it in August, should you wait to get the vaccine or should you hold off
exactly.
Since you just had COVID? Okay. Well, thank
exactly.
you. What do you think, Dr. Frank?
So where that 90 days came from is that was early on in the pandemic. And what basically was is that CDC is saying if you had COVID, it was incredibly unlikely that you were going to get it again within 90 days. And so that at that time, too, we had a limited supply of vaccines. So we're saying, you know, if you just had COVID, you're probably protected for a while. But as Greg was saying, is that now is that we have a lot of vaccine and it's not going to hurt you to get the vaccine. We would wait until you got better again. So August, you know, if you're getting something in September a month later or October a couple months later, that's fine. Your immune system will respond perfectly well to it. So that's where that 90 days came from, though. It was saying that it's unlikely you would get reinfected again with that short period of time.
Okay. I hope that helps, Chris. Greg, you know, speaking of vaccines and the number of people who got them, last year, only 20% of adults in the U.S. got the updated COVID vaccine. Why do you think so many people didn't get it?
You know, throughout the pandemic, we have seen lots of misinformation about various aspects of this pandemic. And I think that really hurt the vaccination efforts, not just for COVID-19, but other vaccines. It's really a key function of public health now is to drive trust back into the vaccination programs that we know have kept illnesses out of our schools. We are lucky COVID has changed. We are not seeing the serious illnesses that we saw early in the pandemic, but it is still a key tool in helping us keep hospitalizations and severe illness down. So we are still working really hard to encourage folks to get that vaccination.
We just got an email from Beth. Beth emails, I am one of the people who had a significant post-vaccine reaction, which included blood clots and among them a pulmonary embolism. All three of my doctors, a hematologist, rheumatologist, and gastroenterologist, have all indicated I should not be vaccinated again. I'm still on blood thinners. These syndromes are now well known, and there's current literature on them, particularly for those of us with autoimmune disorders. Why aren't these issues being talked about by experts? I am still pro-vaccine. Excuse me, and we'll get a flu and RSV vaccine, but these mRNA vaccines are making some people's immune systems very angry. What do you say about that, Dr. Frank?
Well, so first of all, is that the blood clot that was associated with the adenoviral vector vaccine, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, incredibly rare. I mean, if it happens, it's about one in a million. The mRNA vaccines have not been associated with blood clots. The rare side effect that we've seen with mRNA vaccines has been the myocarditis, and again, in the few per 100,000. So that's inflammation of the heart. What I would say is that I would agree with her doctors. If she had a bad side effect, I would not need to go. I would not go get another vaccine right now. But she should encourage her friends and people around her to get vaccinated, so she has kind of a protective womb around her to try to keep her from getting COVID. You know, one of the things I think is important, Lucy, though, is to understand that. Yes, side effects happen with vaccines, but if you're going to see a side effect of the vaccine, you see it within a few weeks after the vaccination. There's been a lot of, as Greg was saying, misinformation. One of the misinformation pieces have been is that people will develop vaccine side effects months or years later. That just doesn't happen. Vaccines are given and the antigen, the thing that stimulates our immune response, are gone in a few weeks or days. But the mRNA vaccines, even within hours probably, and certainly within days, the mRNA is gone out of our system. And so there's really no ability for the vaccine to have create a side effect weeks or months down the line. It doesn't mean that you can't get a side effect like your caller had immediately or shortly after the vaccine, but it's not something that you're doing well and then weeks or months later you're going to get a side effect. That just doesn't happen.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Amy, thanks so much for your call. We're running short on time, so if you could ask your question briefly, we'd appreciate it.
I'm flying tomorrow. Should I wear a mask? I tested positive for COVID my symptoms started 2 weeks ago today, and I'm well now.
Okay. Great. What do you think, Dr. Frank? Do you recommend wearing masks on planes?
So I think there's two questions there, and I know you got no time. So one, as far as for her spreading, I think that the likelihood that she's going to spread to someone else is very, very low at this point, 2 weeks after the initial infection. The other one would be, if you're going on a plane, do you worry about, I'm going to get COVID? And so I would say it's a personal choice. People should feel comfortable of wearing a mask, and no one should give them a side eye of saying you're wearing a mask or not. Is that it's a personal choice, a personal preference. Masks do increase your protection, and that masks do decrease transmission. So, but for something 2 weeks ago, she's not going to transmit at this point. She's really past the period of transmission.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. We also got an email from Jim that I'll read real quickly. What would you say to encourage a 44-year-old healthy person who refuses to get a COVID vaccine? Do you have some magic advice? I'll start with you, Greg.
I don't know if there's any magic advice. I think it's really important that folks get their information about all vaccines from reputable sources. And so if you're just skimming through social media and you're seeing scare tactics associated with vaccines, it's not a good way to educate yourself. I would focus on the Centers for Disease Control, the FDA, and other credible health sources and hospital systems for your information. And then make your educated choice. We will not convince everyone, but I think vaccines are certainly a huge tool in keeping our population safe.
Dr. Frank, is there anything you've said just real briefly that's convinced people who are reluctant?
So I would agree with everything Greg said. Go to trusted sources. And that one story quickly I can tell you is that we were out Cincinnati Children's giving vaccines in the community. I went to a household. The woman said, my brother just died of COVID. Oh. He never smoked. He never drank. He played sports. He was very active. He had no underlying conditions. He got COVID and died. Oh, he thought he was safe.
Yeah.
We all think we're safe.
Right. Oh, well,
unfortunately, we're not.
Yeah. I've been talking with Cincinnati Children's Vaccine Research Center Director, Dr. Robert Frank, and Hamilton County Public Health Commissioner, Greg Kesterman. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Up next, we'll hear from journalist and author Angela Saney about her latest book, The Patriarchs, and pick her brain about the Barbie movie. This is Cincinnati Edition.